great place to start. Let's try to reenact that again. Okay. Say exactly what you just said.
Yeah, sorry, it feels weird pointing the camera at my crotch, you know?
You got a cat in your crotch.
Oh!
Oh, that was the first time we heard that. Moe, we're rolling, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, we are. I knew it. That lie is over. No more lying to the audience. I don't like that. This is the Loser Leaves Wrestling News You Can't Lose. My name is Red Jefferson, and I'm here with...
Hi, everybody. It's Moe Jaswal over here.
Exactly. Oh, I like that.
You like that?
Oh, that's really good because that's very newscasty. Like, I'm Red Jefferson. You're like, I'm Moe Jaswal over here. Feels very broadcasty. I like that. That's great.
That's
the
fun
news you can't lose, Moet. This is November 29th and December 5th. We're in December, Moet.
That's excellent. We're almost there. We've almost made it.
But I think it's funny to say we're almost there because I've heard that before. It's just like, we're almost to what?
Like, well, you gotta have milestones. Number? You gotta have something to look forward to. That's
sure.
What I've thought my whole life. It's important to have things to look forward to.
My
physics teacher said that to me, to our whole class in freshman year of high school, and he said it with such sadness. He was like, "What day is it today?" He's like, "We're like Wednesday." It's like, "Ah, great, lost is tonight." It's important to have things to look. It's good to have things to look forward to. He said, and he just looked kind of sad. I'm like, "What's going to happen to us? Why did he look like that?" I guess it is important, and it's stuck with me.
That I'd be doing the same thing as that man when I binge lost this summer.
You did binge lost this summer. Did you? What'd you learn?
It's a great show.
It is a great show. Yeah,
it's solidified in my brain. I feel bad for the people who had to watch it week after week.
Oh, I mean, I hate it, and I feel like actually scarred by from having
because of having to wait each week to get more questions and no answers.
Yeah, yeah,
and
no,
it was I could imagine being very frustrating, but it's a beautiful show when you could binge it.
The first season's perfect, I think.
The season episode 4 of the first season is one of the best pieces of TV I've ever seen. It's the John Locke Center.
That's
episode.
It's the walkabout episode.
Yeah.
Yeah,
crush me. But yeah, well, this is the news you can't lose. We're talking wrestling news from last
the Loser
week
Leaves Lost podcast.
Moet, you want to get to the biggest news of the week? The tippy top, and it is the biggest news of the week. Pat Patterson passes away at the age of 79.
Pat Patterson passes away.
Pat Patterson passes away at the pappy old Patterson age of Penny Pine.
Penny Pine, oh boy. Red, what's your Pat Patterson memory? I feel like there's one of these every week. One of these.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
Yeah, sure. Oh, my favorite Pat Patterson memory is, I didn't even think of one before the show. I guess it would be him being him and the Stooges. Him and Jerry Briscoe wonking around, being silly, winning the hardcore title, dressing up in dresses. It was silly and fun, even though it was pretty mean-spirited to constantly put Pat Patterson in a dress for fun.
That is a little weird, but that's okay. I mean, that was the era.
That was the
very, very bad era.
Do you have any Pat Patterson favorites?
Oh, Sami Zayn wrote a very sweet tweet that about him, about how when he won his NXT title, Pat Patterson was out there and it was like all these like young up and coming NXT talent and Pat Patterson, because he was so proud of Sammy, and apparently he would always like try to watch NXT and like, you know, he just felt so proud of like where wrestling was going during this era. So I guess, I don't know, that's what I think about a lot. That's what I've been thinking about a lot since you know, the news broke.
Yeah, rest in power, Pat Patterson. I was talking to some people, just like being like an openly gay wrestler. And wrestling is super hard. I couldn't imagine the kind of vitriol he got from people who were homophobic and in the wrestling industry throughout his entire career. And I'm glad that, you know, he's had such a huge career for someone that's historically beaten up portion of the population.
Yeah, I agree, especially during that era when it wasn't as accepted in wrestling for dumb backwards
and to be
reasons.
Openly gay.
Yeah,
that's great, crazy, man. Absolutely crazy. Good for Pat Patterson. He lived a long time, real long time. He was dealing with dementia, cancer, and so it's he died I don't know how peacefully, but he's better, no pain. That's the one. I was going to say better place, but I don't necessarily believe that. But no pain.
There's you don't
no
more believe pain that? What does that mean?
I don't believe that there's an afterlife.
Oh, you don't believe that, like, literally better place? Yeah, I guess
so. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying you went to hell.
Okay. That's what I...
Oh, no, I don't think he went to hell. I don't think. Okay. If there is a heaven and hell, he's definitely in the middle.
He's, yeah. I don't know. In limbo. I have no That's idea. That's the limbo period forever. Yeah.
Yeah, let's move on. Well, this was an action-packed Dynamite this week. Winter came, and just to recap some of the big things, Sting is back with AEW. Sting signed a multi-year deal, and it doesn't look like he's gonna be wrestling.
That's news? Like, they've said that?
Yeah, so it looks like, because his last match was against Seth Rollins, which was 4 years ago, and that's the last match he's had. I can't imagine a guy his age not wrestling a little bit in between, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe he'll come back, but I'm just imagining he's 61 years old. He could, I think he's in good shape, but I can't imagine what type of role. He's not a good talker.
Well, we don't know if he's in good shape or not. He wears a lot of black.
He looks good. He looks good.
He looks good. He's got face paint on. He wears like black jackets, a black, you know, little onesie outfit or whatever. So I have a feeling it's hiding some age, you know.
Do you think that he's going to face Cody? Do you?
No, I'd hope he doesn't. He wanted to do a cinematic match with Undertaker.
Which would have been cool.
That would have been fun. That would have been a fun way to see both of them off, you know.
Let's not say that they can't do a cinematic match in AEW.
Well, you mean Sting could. Undertaker probably would.
I'm not saying with Undertaker. Because
that would be amazing. But
I'm saying, like, Cody and Sting. Sting and Matt Hardy.
I'd really enjoy watching that. Yeah. Because the lake reincarnation, I think, would be
Imagine
incredible.
The things that could happen with Sting going into the lake.
It'd be really fun. It'd be fun. Yeah. It'd be a mess, but it'd be fun.
He comes out as Red Sting. That'd be
Red
pretty
Sting,
cool.
Surfer Sting, man.
Sure, Surfer Sting. But I was going for... I don't know. I thought the idea of someone coming out of the water with full red paint is pretty scary.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Did you like Surfer, did you like Red Sting?
No. I just thought it was, I actually remember when I first found out about Red Sting. It was much later. It was like in the mid-2000s, and I saw a picture. I'm just like, yikes. That's scary.
Yeah,
that was very scary to me. I don't know why.
It's just silly.
Yeah. So Sting's back. There's that. Omega is the AEW champion with the help of Don Callis. And they're going to be speaking at Impact this Tuesday. It looks like it's going to be a one-off thing, though.
What? Who says that?
From what I, from my sources at Wrestling Inc., which is the only website I go to, they said that this looks like Omega's appearance is going to be a one-time thing. Don Callis' contract with Impact is up in the month. And it looks like he's going to be moving over to AEW to be a manager for Omega.
Oh, interesting.
And so it looks like that's going to happen. This is just something cool to do in the meantime, but it's a short-term thing. And,
I hope not. I hope not. It lit the friggin' wrestling world on fire, that ending. Yeah. So, like, they've got a lot to live up to. If they really have shot themselves in the foot if it's just, like, a one-off thing.
Like I hope it's not a one-off. I mean, like, it's a one-storyline thing.
Oh, okay.
It's not, like, a literally one-night deal. I feel like it's going to be, like, one storyline. But Omega's not going to be going over to Impact a lot. This is only one. That's one time.
Okay, yeah. Because the people have been thinking about, like, dream sort of dream scenarios. It's weird to say there's dream matches with Impact, honestly.
Yeah.
And it's a really... Because this relationship with Impact is not that exciting when you think about it, because the production value of Impact is nowhere near where AEW is. There's good wrestlers, but there's not really, like, it just feels very cheap is all I'm getting at.
Sure.
But the implication of them working with Impact is what is most exciting. And if they only do that as a one-off thing, then, like, what was the point, you know? It's if they can work with Impact, Impact has connections with New Japan and ROH, you know? Like, AEW also has connections with New Japan in a way. So... It could be a large, like, network that could be started from this.
It could be, but my issue with it entirely, like, I like the idea of this being a short storyline, because the idea of that many cooks in the kitchen, like, AEW is trying to figure out their own creative right now. The idea of having storylines with other heads of creative that aren't just Tony Khan sounds like it would be. It sounds like doing a WCW WWF invasion angle while they're both still in power.
No, that's like, true. That's something that's hard to get away with of the amount of egos involved with everybody, mm-hmm. and that's why I think it didn't work out in the past. There's too many egos. Like WWE had to succeed and just trample WCW back when the original invasion happened. But I don't know. It's fun to be optimistic about this, that like maybe there's a way to check their egos at the door and really come together. Like, because AEW Kenny Omega right now going to Impact is going to help out Impact immensely, at least for one episode.
I'm
going to
watch. And yeah, me too. I'm going to find a way to watch, and I don't watch.
It's on Twitch. Do you know that?
Dog, I would love to. That's it. That's easy.
Yeah,
that's
it's free, on right? Twitch on Tuesdays. I forgot what time off the top of my head. But
how the hell haven't I just been checking this out?
Because it's I think it's at the same time as Dark, or it might be like immediately after. Like
I do prefer Dark. I just prefer. But now I'm gonna watch it. Yeah. Well, that's super. But there's some more here with this. Sure. It's not that much more. The idea of dream matches or cross promotional matches. So Kenny Omega is making an appearance this week. It looks like the Good Brothers, who are signed with Impact, will be making an appearance on AEW to face one of the teams.
Really?
And it looks like they're either... It looks like the obvious choice is them facing the Young Bucks. Mm-hmm. And FTR has openly said they want to face the Motor City Machine Guns. Mm-hmm. And Sami Callihan says he wants to reunite with Jon Moxley.
That'd be good.
Which is interesting. So there's a lot of cool stuff that could happen, but don't get your hopes up for like a long storyline. I feel like this is just mostly for Kenny Omega's purposes of turning heel.
Because there's rumors. There's rumors about Jon Moxley, since you mentioned it. Because he was AAA for their big pay-per-view Triple Mania. They reached out to Jon Moxley to see if he wanted to wrestle there. But they told him he was unavailable. And that was December 12th. And December 12th is an Impact taping of some kind. So people are like, what if that's why he's unavailable? Or he's also got a pregnant wife at home, so maybe there it's just more straightforward.
I see I see Jon Moxley taking a big break in 2021 with the kid.
His family. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope so.
Instead of leaving Renee at home alone.
Sure.
With the baby, you mean? Is that what you
mean? I just want him off TV for a while. That's my intentions.
Okay, it's nothing supportive. Intentions. It's just like, just get away. We don't, need a break. You need a break from him.
They're rich. They can have as many helpers as they need.
Yeah,
they've
got 8 butlers.
They're fine. Yeah. They're fine with their monocles. And so let's move on. So that happened. And another cool thing happened this week. New York Times released the best performances of 2020, and they gave a nod to MJF. They give a nod to MJF pretty much like him as the performer, and then they mention Dinner Debonair in the article about him. But yeah, he really is an amazing performer. I didn't know he was he went to what is it called? That performing school.
Juilliard. I don't know. Did he actually? Did you check that? Okay, I read it. I didn't know. I thought that was like a random thing that he like a saying, you know, that he has the skills of a Juilliard student. But I didn't know for sure if he was there. I didn't.
I assumed because of what they said. You know, he appeared on Rosie O'Donnell when he was a kid?
Yeah, when he was like 9 or something. Ridiculous. Yeah.
Very sassy.
Very sassy. It's pretty amazing that he would get singled out like that. Completely shutting out Jericho, which is hilarious.
No, but like they were saying the performer. Throughout 2020.
Well, I was seeing it as.
I read about MJF, and then they mentioned Dinner Debonair.
Okay, I see. I saw it specifically as that segment. If it's not, then I don't know. Then I guess he's good. But then it's, I don't know. It's too much to unpack, Red. I feel like why did they single out MJF if it's all around performer? There's like way more interesting. I don't know.
Oh, he's just one of them. He's not the only winner. These are the best performers of 2020. And they just mentioned a wrestling thing.
Okay. All right, Red.
You don't believe me for a second.
No, I do not believe you for this. This feels... I'm through with this. This is bullshit.
If you read the article, all they do is talk about MJF and his career and how he acts. And then they mention Dinner Debonair at the very end.
No. Well, okay. Fair. I'm looking it up, right? Let's see. It's only a paragraph. Let's see. Juilliard by intensity. Oh God! Oh God! Oh Jesus!
Oh Lord!
Oh Jesus!
This, the whole show has gone off the rails. The
yeah, Atticus. You can't see it. Atticus just he's stepping on the keyboard. He's being a monster. You can't. He can't jump off of the table because he's got three legs, and he's got to be really careful with his body. Oh gosh! There. Okay, he's gone. He's gone. All right, let's.
Poor podcast listeners.
That's terrible. Terrible.
Moving on. We're never mentioning that again. Cody Hall, Scott Hall's son, apparently has been signed to MLW, and he's already leaving.
Who? What?
Okay. Scott Hall's son, Cody.
All right.
He's this giant guy. He's like 6'10". He's gonna be big somewhere. He used to be the Young Bucks bodyguard in NJPW.
Oh, okay, cool.
And he's with MLW, and now he's being released. That's the end of that. Do you know anything about him?
No.
He's huge.
I think I might have seen him at New Japan, but I don't think I cared.
He's a big old boy.
It's good for him.
And we got one last news article here. Undertaker and Snoop Dogg unite to make clothing brand.
No, wait, hold on. I'm still stuck on this MJF thing. Hold on, because the thing is, the nomination is Maxwell Jacob Friedman doing Me and My Shadow on All Elite Wrestling. And so you have to explain who MJF is as a performer and then sure. Go into why the guy likes it. I think it's for that. I don't it's not just Maxwell.
They even say in the article that it was a less than spectacular thing. They're talking about him as the performer. They're 100% are. They're not really saying that this was a good performance, as they're saying he's been a good performer and making everything he does real special.
But everybody else on the thing is about a performer in a specific performance.
Sure, they picked one, but it's really them talking. If you read the article, it's just them talking about how great of a performer he is, and then he did this one thing that was less than spectacular. I don't know.
All right, fine. Let's move on.
Let's go to the mailbag.
I've shut it down for good. Oh, wait, are we already at the mailbag?
Yeah.
Wait, God. This is a mess. No, who's going to listen to this? I feel bad for them.
Don't say that. That makes me very upset.
Okay. Oh, Jesus Christ. All right, mailbag Mowat. Here we go.
Mailbag Mowat. Here he is. We got three old.
Show on track. Three entire emails.
Well, don't let
let's
me stop you.
Yeah, let's relax. All right, ready?
Sure.
Woo. Okay, number one, we got Georgina from Ding Dong, Texas. That's a real place, Ding Dong.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
It's probably a list of weirdest town names in America.
I feel like that. Yeah, well, I just mentioned that because I feel like somebody would be thinking, like, somebody just made that up.
That's a real place.
The name. This person made up the name or whatever, you know. But Ding Dong, real town.
Yeah.
Anyways, Georgina says, what is the worst finisher in history?
I hate the worm.
Is that a finisher? I guess it's a signature.
He's pinned people with it.
Oh, does that count? I guess so.
I don't know.
A signature. I'll
go back for that. I hate the claw.
I was thinking the claw, but I actually love the claw. I love it. It's so silly, and with the right person, silly. It's actually right. Kind of terrifying because like it only works with like a giant person.
Yeah. No. You know? Okay.
Like,
I'll take that back.
A very tall or very very strong. Like Lance Archer had brought back the claw in New Japan briefly, and it's so cheesy and so ridiculous that it would come back, but it's pretty fun to see him do it because he's got the expressions and all that, you know, that to make it work.
I'll go Canadian Destroyer.
Yeah, that's fine. That's
never finished
brand.
Any whatever.
Yeah, let's say Canadian Destroyer. I can't think of anything off like real quick that I like absolutely despise. I don't know. That's a tough one.
That is a tough one.
Yeah.
That is a tough one.
Okay, anyways. next question. Here we go. Blood Cloak from the Other Realm. That's a real place. The Other Realm.
Yeah, the real place. Sure.
I'm just saying.
Blood Cloak, come on. Give us a real town name next time. I'm tired of this.
Blood Cloak. Well, the Other Realm, I mean, all right, fine.
I wonder if that's his Christian name.
Blood Cloak. Like Mandalorian?
That's a weird question for Blood Cloak from the other realm to ask.
Is it that weird? It feels pretty on brand for Blood Cloak.
Actually, well. I'd imagine that Blood Cloak is pretty into Star Wars. Have you watched it, Mandalorian?
No, but it's becoming like Game of Thrones for me, where, you know, everybody's like so excited about it, but I refuse to watch it because I have a feeling it's going to be bad eventually. And I don't like, okay, this is actually great that we started with Lost and we're getting up here. You know what happened with me with Lost was I believed in them. That was my problem, is I believed in the creators and I believed what they were saying. I trusted them. They kept saying, don't worry, there's a lot of crazy things happening right now, but we're going to fix this. It's all going to make sense in the end. And I told my friends this, I like a crazy heretic, you know, and oh, no, man. They didn't. They never did.
Wait,
yeah. Yeah. And so
have you rewatched it?
What?
You only watched it live. Lost.
So, I watched it live. Yeah.
And you haven't seen it since?
No, because it broke my heart. It destroyed me to the point where I don't want to watch TV anymore commit to a series. It's very rare when I go full in, because I know they're going to hurt me at some point. So like Game of Thrones, that did it for a lot of people. That hurt. That hurt a lot of people.
That hurt me bad. It hurt me bad. The last two seasons hurt me entirely. So by the end, I was just like, I didn't care. It ruined me. It hollowed me out.
I saw the first four, I think, seasons, maybe five. And then around then, it started to get bad. I don't even remember the breaking point for me, but I was like, I see the signs. I see where it's going, and I stopped. Sure. So Mandalorians actually looks really cool, and I just watched the spoilers on YouTube. And I feel like, I don't know, I feel like...
You'd like it. It's short, it's sweet, it's simple. It's got, like, it's a Western. Like, this guy, he's on a mission, he's crossing colorful characters. It's cute. And like, there's a lot of good things to it.
I saw half of season one. Sorry for interrupting. I saw half of season one, and I agree with what you just said. I think it is, like, it does have the best parts of Star Wars, at least for live action so far.
Yeah.
I don't see anything better in live action yet.
Without its pretension. Without Star Wars pretension. It's all the silly and fun stuff.
Yeah, yeah. The Rosario Dawson, is that a spoiler? I don't know.
I don't tell me anymore, because I just saw her appear. I was watching it this morning.
Her exploding into the sun, is that a spoiler? I don't know.
No.
I just the fact that she's there and that, like, that character is connected to Star Wars Rebels or whatever, the cartoon show.
The Clone Wars.
Oh, was it Clone Wars? I thought it was
Clone Wars TV
too.
Show.
Okay, Clone Wars. Yeah, yeah.
I think. I don't know. I've never actually seen the show, but I think she's from that, because I remember that picture of that character.
It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Always exciting to see that.
Yeah.
All right. Want to move on?
Yeah. Last email. Last mailbag MOA email.
This is interesting. This comes from Atticus from Austin, Texas. How many Atticuses could possibly be?
Well, Atticus is a popular name for an older gentleman, presumably someone that was, you know, born around the time of To Kill a Mockingbird, like Atticus Finch, you know.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
probably a lot of kids named that, especially in Texas, so let's not get crazy here.
Weird. You know, actually, Atticus, my cat, is named after Atticus Finch. I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'd only assume, unless it was named after someone's Uncle Atticus, who everyone has an Uncle Atticus, because they were presumably born in 1963, right around the time of To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yes, of course. Probably. So this Atticus asks, who would make a good cat wrestler?
Huh. What? That's weird.
Interesting. Interesting that Atticus...
It's almost like someone just thought of this question while watching Atticus. It's weird. That's weird. Who would make a good cat wrestler?
Who would make a good cat wrestler? There is actually already a cat wrestler.
Besides the cat, Ernest the Cat Miller. Or Ernie Cat Lad. The big cat.
I didn't think of Ernest the Cat. No, a literal cat wrestler, Alley Cat. Alley Cat is I don't know what her lore is, her background, but she has the cat makeup and she acts like a cat. And the commentary team kind of likes to talk about cats when she's in the ring. So I think she's a literal cat wrestler.
That's pretty good. I did not know about her.
She hangs out with Danhausen, Warhorse, Orange Cassidy. She's in that kind of gimmick.
That's a good bit.
State group of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's gone. It was actually really cool because she was going to retire, I think, last year. But then, I don't know what the timeline is, but if, at some point she started hanging out with those people like Danhausen, Warhorse, and Effie. And then she's just found this like resurgence within the last 2 years, I guess, like in 2019. And she's back in. She's got a big fan base now as far as the indie scene goes. So
we should do a cat video, alley cat video.
Yeah, I would do that. Yeah, yeah. I think it's really cool what, you know, just how it's worked out for her so far. She'll, yeah.
I'm going to look at her. I'd say who would be a good cat wrestler? Brian Cage. Brian Cage would be a good cat wrestler.
What is a cat wrestler? Like, do you want to see him dress up?
A person that would dress up like a cat and act like a cat in the ring. I imagine Brian Cage would look very funny in a cat costume with whiskers. And then his sidekick, who would also be dressed as a cat, is Marco Stunt.
Ah.
And they're just both cats.
This is so homoerotic.
Not the way I'm looking at it.
A very strange turn.
I'm looking at both of them in cat-like costumes, similar to the movie Cats.
Yes. Yeah, no, I see that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Which I loved. I loved that movie. It was
great. It was great. I saw it 3 times in theaters.
Did you really? Wow.
Yeah, loved it. The first time I saw it, the best part was the audience's reaction to each one.
Each what?
Each time I saw it.
Oh.
so like the first time I went with there was a lot of theater people, like older crowd, that was just like, oh, we're going to see a musical on the movie. And they went in dead silence the entire time. The second time I went super high, but it seemed like everyone went super high and there's just a lot of laughing. The third time I went, it's already become a cult favorite and everyone's singing along.
Wow.
And it was so cool.
That's awesome. I just watched it once in theaters, and I remember it felt like everyone was trying to remain respectful. It was at an Alamo Draft House, yeah. You know, so they got that no talking rule. So it felt like everyone was trying to stay respectful of that, but there was a lot of giggling, a lot of like little giggling and a lot of shh, shh, yeah, shh, shh, you know, and then the moment it faded out and the credits hit the end, it was like this weird silence. And then just like on cue, like, everybody burst out laughing. Like, it was like a group of like maybe 3 people behind us that started laughing, and that was like the firework that set off the entire audience, like this rumble, you know, of everyone just like, you know, letting it out finally, you know. And
that's,
it was like,
so
it,
funny.
It was a real, like, you know, relief to know everybody, because I thought it was just me. I thought it was like, oh, I'm the only one that finds this insane, but it was all of us. It was a very cathartic
moment. I really
moment.
Think that this is this generation's Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I think so.
I think it's like a big, it's got this cult following. It's got interesting, even though the music, I was so angry. The first time watching it, I was so angry. I'm just like, this is the most repetitive music. And it seems like they're just talking without even trying to like come up with like fun. I don't know. Everything just seems so forced. And now I look at it like it was forced for a reason. It's so beautiful.
It's incredible. If you're going to do a Cats movie, it has to be the most insane thing possible. And they really did things I would have never ever conceived of.
Yeah.
The zipping off her friggin' cat suit to reveal another cat costume underneath.
Sure.
Hurts my head just thinking about it. The only thing that would make it better.
Scale was rough.
Scale was insane. Wonderful. Wonderful watching that. To consider that someone would try that and fail miserably.
Yeah.
And the behind the scenes videos, like leading up to it with like Taylor Swift, you know, and doing the standard like, you know, promotion of like, this is amazing. The effects they have, it looks so real. And like, and then to see the friggin' product a week later,
it,
I don't know,
but
like those, yeah, they're fucking liars. It was great.
It was very funny. And then just Judi Dench just talking directly to the camera. It's almost, they're just like, we don't know how to shoot this. And we have Judi Dench in a cat suit. Judi, just be Judi.
I couldn't, like, I had to look away. It physically
it was
hurt
uncomfortable.
Me staring into her eyes for that long. I couldn't handle it. It was, yeah.
It broke every rule. It broke all the rules.
You see
the
butthole
that broke
cut?
All the rules.
You see the butthole cut? Do you know about that?
What?
Wait. You don't know about the butthole cut?
So I know that there was a cut that was early, and some fur was weird and stuff like that, and the faces looked like they were floating. I saw that in theaters. Second time, I saw the better one, and I think third time, I saw the bad one again. But there's a butthole cut?
Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Where you see the cat's buttholes?
Yes. Yeah, at one point, they had buttholes every cat had a butthole, and I think one of the editors explained it that somebody in the studio at the last moment before they released it in theaters decided the buttholes were too much. And so one of the editors had to take out digitally every single butthole. But people know that there's a butthole cut out there. So that was a big campaign to release the butthole cut. I think there's a photo of the butthole cut, just a single cat butthole. But it exists, Red.
This should be our next video.
Yeah.
Just us trying to find... That should be our next movie, is us trying to find the butthole cut.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It would.
That sounds amazing.
It would melt minds. It's already at a 10.
Well, this has been the News You Can't Lose with Loserly's Wrestling Crew. This has been a big one.
We went on a journey.
This one's going to break our views. People are going to want to know this. I'm putting in the headline, Cat Talk. Thank you all so much for watching. You can follow us on Loserly's Wrestling on Instagram and on YouTube, and Loserly's Pod and Twitter, and Loserly's Pod at Gmail for more mailbag with Moet. We love to hear all your mail items. That's our show. My name is Red Jefferson.
Hey, everybody, this is Moet Jaswal. Say goodbye. I hope you have a great, great rest of your weekend.
And Moet, if you were a rhino-shaped wrestler, what would your tagline be? What would your signature phrase be?
It would be, release the horde!
Okay. Okay. Okay.
All right. That was the correct answer to the question, right? You asked me. Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you.